Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Nice. Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. On today's show, the Al Gore of podcasting, Jesse Thorne. He founded and owns Maximum Fun, and it's like having your boss over for dinner. We're nervous. And when the boss comes over for dinner, what's the first thing that happens? The toilet backs up. So we called in a plumber. Star Tomlinson is owner and CEO of The Drain Company. She can tell us how to pull hairballs and other unexpected guests out of your drain. I'm Adam Felber, tasked with snaking the pipes of this show to keep it flowing. And now, please welcome the podcast host, whose flapper is never sealed, Paula Poundstone.
Well, thank you very much.
Welcome, Paula.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. And a big welcome to tonight's house band clarinetist Vincent Camuglia. Exciting news for our show, Paula. Maximum Fun is now selling Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone t-shirts.
Wait a minute. What are they made of?
What are they made of? I believe they're 100% cotton.
Oh, as opposed to... The Tri-Poly Blend.
Okay, the Tri-Poly Blend is what you say your Paula Poundstone at paulapoundstone.com t-shirts are made of.
And not just a Tri-Poly Blend, a remarkably soft Tri-Poly Blend.
Now, right out of the gate, you and I are arguing again, because we have talked about this a lot. There is no such thing as a Tri-Poly Blend. You're talking about a Tri-Blend, which is cotton and rayon and polyester.
There's poly in it.
No. There's no poly in the cotton.
Yeah.
Now, I have a couple of pieces of news on that score. Now, I don't want to make you look bad, but boy, your fans are giving me hell on Twitter over this because they keep insisting that there is a tri-poly blend.
Of course there is. Okay. They bought my shirts.
Well,
and
look
they experienced the remarkably soft quality of the tri-poly blend.
I do not
blend.
Dispute the remarkably soft quality of that t-shirt.
It is. People touch it and they remark. That's what I've noticed.
And they remark upon its softness.
Yes. And its tri-polyishness.
No, they don't in fact do that.
Do you remember that Disney movie made in like the 60s, Tri-Pollyanna?
That was just, you just saw Pollyanna three times.
No, Tri-Pollyanna.
Anyway, can I read you something? Because
there,
this
there
appeared
were triplets
on,
and they
you
fell
might
out
be
of
aware
a tree.
That there's this popular website called urbandictionary.com where people put street slang. They enter, so it can enter even further into our cultural argot, as it happens. Tri-poly blend just appeared on urbandictionary.com. Do you want to hear the definition?
Yeah, it's also in the Oxford English Dictionary.
No, it isn't.
yes.
So listen to this. A tri-poly blend, a fictitious fiber blend often mentioned by Paula Poundstone during her podcast and is supposedly used to craft her fine line of t-shirts. Used in a sentence, these shirts are made from a remarkably soft tri-poly blend. Note the use of the word fictitious in that.
Yeah, I think that validates what I've been saying.
Except that it says that it's fictitious.
Fictitious.
Yeah, which means it doesn't exist.
No, that's a typo.
No, I don't think so.
That's a typo.
Well,
you
here's
can't
another
trust
thing
internet.
That might be a typo, because what's this that? Has been driving me so crazy. I don't have hair, but I would have pulled it out by now over this. So I went and found another source that argues that the Paula Poundstone at paulapoundstone.com t-shirts are made of a tri-blend involving cotton.
It's a tri-poly blend, yes.
No, tri-blend. And do you know where I found that piece of information?
Where?
At paulapoundstone.com. I want all listeners to go to that website right now, because it says it's a tri-blend t-shirt. It does not say tri-poly.
Yeah, that's a typo.
No, it's not.
No, I'll tell you why. Because the guy who does my website, you know, because I have somebody maintain it.
Yeah.
And he charges by the letter. And last month was tight for me. I'm not making as much money as I need to. And so we talked it over, and I said, just put, for now, polyblend. But it is, in fact, a tri-polyblend.
He didn't put polyblend either. He said tri-blend, which is what it's called, because it involves cotton.
Yeah.
And that is the truth, and it is a fact, and you can't change it.
No. That's, you know what? I just have to tell you one thing, and it's not on this topic.
Okay. this is a shock.
So the other day, I was trying to schedule something. My manager, Bonnie Burns, who's also one of the producers on this show, we were trying to
she's on her laptop right now.
Schedule
she can't hear
something.
You.
She thinks she multitasks. It's sad.
No,
she's like
she
a teenager.
Barely tasks.
Yeah. she negative tasks. She okay. So the other day, so I'm on the phone with her, and we're trying to schedule. In fact, I think a time where I could appear on another podcast. I can't even remember which one it was.
The story is slowing our momentum.
Scratch anybody, and they have a podcast. But so we're trying to schedule it, and I was all frustrated about my time because I just have no time for anything.
Right.
And so I said, well, I can't do it Tuesday mornings because I have a 9:30 appointment on the phone. And she goes, I'm guessing therapy.
Wow.
And she wasn't kidding. That was like, I'm guessing therapy. Like, okay, that's not insulting enough.
Yeah, no, it's, I think it's
I'm guessing
insulting.
Therapy. Like, in fact, no.
Well, that's.
I'm guessing. I don't have time for therapy. This is the closest thing to therapy I can come.
This the show.
Yeah. That, and sometimes what I do is I rub my tri-polyblend t-shirt on my cheek.
What you think
and
is
that's,
a tri-polyblend.
And that's a comfort to me. Well, but we have new t-shirts coming out for this show, right?
You brought it right back around to the topic, which is absolutely stunning. But yes, if you were to go to http://maximumfundstore.com
and who wouldn't?
You would go there and you could find this t-shirt. On the front, it says, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. And on the back, there's a quotation. Do you remember the quotation?
No.
It's from the show. It says, never take your kid to an orthodontist who is putting on a deck or sending his kid to college.
Oh, that's excellent advice. So it's a little piece of Paula Poundstone advice.
On the back.
On the
which
back.
Which we ran by an orthodontist, and she refused to confirm or deny that.
Yeah, I saw the look on her face.
Yeah,
you know, it's an audio show, but I can tell you now that she's not here.
Yeah, and she doesn't listen to us.
No, she doesn't listen. Nobody listens to us. I have proof of that. No, she definitely concurred on that. She just didn't want her brethren to hear her saying it out loud.
Plus, she's definitely hoping to put on a deck sometime soon.
Exactly. Now, she didn't want to wreck it for the others.
Now, let me move to another topic, because I know that the boss is coming for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
Do you have any apprehension? Because I should point out, Jesse Thorne is the godfather, the CEO, the big cheese over the Maximum Fun Network.
And that's where we're on. I've never understood it, though. Like, is it a distributor? It's not a network, because there is no network. It's not a network
in the traditional sense, but
we are put out in any way.
Well, it is. I mean, like, you don't post our podcast. That's something that I do.
Yeah.
And I do so through the Maximum Fun website
do?
And stuff.
You
Oh, yeah.
So that's how
And
you
through there,
it,
it propagates to the various places where it ends up, like iTunes and Stitcher and all those places.
Oh, I had no idea.
No, you didn't.
No, I had no idea. No, this is me. Bidding myself with therapy all the time. How could I possibly?
Yeah, I know. Every 9:30 every morning,
9:30 every morning.
So let me ask you, are you a little apprehensive? What might add to your apprehension is that in addition to being, you know, a podcast CEO, you know, like a mogul, he's also a fashion maven. He hosts a blog and a web video series about men's fashion called Put This On. And
well, then he can validate my claim, my correct claim, that my Paula Poundstone shirts are made from a remarkably soft tri-poly blend.
There's another option there, that he might invalidate your claim.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, we'll ask him his impression
but
of the T-shirts, because they're
weird,
quite handsome.
It's like having the boss.
Yeah, there's some great classic sitcoms where the boss comes to dinner, right?
Yeah, yeah. I Love Lucy. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It is a little bit awkward. Because I also know, didn't he have something to do with the John Hodgman podcast?
He's on, I don't know if he's on every, but he's the bailiff on Judge John Hodgman.
No, you're on every one of the Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone's, aren't you?
Yes, our listeners have pointed out in song that I am on every episode.
That's one of the things that is notable about
my podcast. The only thing they say about me when they're generally singing about you.
About me, and then they go, Adam Felber's there.
Yeah.
Which is
they
really
do that.
Quite a tribute. I remember.
No, it's really not. It's the opposite of a tribute. It's insulting.
I remember with the first George Bush, they made a little song about him, and then they'd go, and Dan Quayle is there.
Yeah, that's exactly what that feels like for me. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So he does. All right. So Jesse Thorne does the. First of all, he starred in The Thornbirds, which was so good.
No, he didn't. He is the host of the popular NPR show Bullseye as well. So he does work on terrestrial radio as well as podcast.
So he has a lot of street cred.
Yeah.
But not here on Miranda.
No. Miranda Street, the site of Ray Horseman Studios, is its very own animal.
And there was
an animal right outside tonight.
There was a
possum.
A possum just outside the studio tonight. And our producer, Tony Anita Hall, was getting out of her car and stepped in on
Okay, yes, that's not related to the possum, but I'm sure Tony appreciates you bringing that up.
On the... that
All right.
It's in no way a judgment about the step E. I'm just saying that it's a very nature.
And we have no way of knowing whether that was
area.
That was dog poop. That could have been possum poop, for all we know. The boys down in the lab haven't called yet. So
Or worse.
Yeah,
you know what I'm going to do? In honor of Tony, I'm going to make a balloon animal.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right. And longtime listeners of our show will note that I've pointed out several times that Paula does not, in point of fact, know how to blow up balloon animals.
I do know how to blow up.
And what she's blowing up right now is not a balloon that can be made into an animal. It's just a spherical birthday balloon.
That's not true.
And she doesn't seem to ever succeed at tying them either.
I can tie it.
Can I get to introducing our guest? Because the boss is actually already here for dinner. And you know what I love about that is that... Great.
Hold on.
Is this a possum that you're making?
No, I'm making a pile of dog waste.
Well, that is the one balloon animal I feel like you're qualified to make.
Tony, you're really going to love
this. This will be yours, Tony. Have this to remember.
How could you ever tell anybody that I can't make a balloon animal? Look at that.
Look at this. There you go, Tony.
That's a beautiful thing of beauty.
Okay, now I think it's very appropriate that we've been talking about this like the boss is coming to dinner because, in fact... Okay, and a timer's gone off.
I thought it was Tony's phone.
it's the
right
key.
Right in front of the boss.
No, it's the quiche I was making for the boss. It's burning.
Oh, no. This is so weird.
Yeah.
How many things have gone wrong tonight? And
I know.
It's the night that the boss is coming.
It actually is funny that that's what happens in those sitcoms. And indeed, tonight has been an unmitigated disaster in so many ways.
We've had a lot of problems.
Anyway, let me introduce him. All right, here we go. He hosts and produces the NPR show Bullseye and is the founder and owner of the Maximum Fun Podcast Network, which we are a proud member of. On Maximum Fun, he appears on Judge John Hodgman and Jordan Jesse Go, which is fantastic. He also runs Put This On, a blog and web video series devoted to men's fashion. Please welcome Jesse Thorne.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Paul.
Hey, Jesse.
Welcome,
thanks
Jesse.
So much for being here.
A pleasure to be here. I won't hold the burnt casserole against you.
No, it's really a terrific tuna noodle casserole.
Or that your child called me fat? Is that something that would happen in sitcom?
Yes, my kid came out and said, why are you, daddy says you're fat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's why he's making a casserole.
When did that happen?
In the sitcom that we're talking about.
Oh, I see. Oh, my gosh. For a minute, I thought
the Thornbirds.
Because
1977 television miniseries that you just alluded to.
Yeah, your work in the Thornbirds is undisputed. And if
she's
you guys,
got some Fibber McGee and Molly material to do later.
You know, brilliant never leaves us. You know, this is of course an audio show, and so the listener can't see Jesse, but he is wearing the outfit that he was in the Thornbirds with, and so it is. He's got a lot of feathers, and I want to thank you for wearing your beak.
He's not.
And it isn't.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is I got the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants.
And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that too. Like so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing. They cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily wherever you cast your pod.
But yes. So Jesse, welcome. First question.
Yeah.
Do you think of yourself as our boss? Like, are you auditing us right now?
Business partner?
Business partner.
Oh, I couldn't be your boss.
I think you are.
I'm really bad at being people's boss.
But you do run this vast network podcasting empire.
I hired a guy named Bikram to do that.
Oh, we love Bikram. Oh.
Yeah, Bikram's great.
Bonnie Burns, our producer, spends so much time confusing Bikram. That it's kind of like, it's when she's not accusing Paula of needing pre-breakfast therapy. She's
Is Bikram like the guy just under you, Jesse, then?
Yeah, I mean, he's managing director. He's running things.
He is our boss.
Yeah, I think of Max Fun. Like, I started Max Fun because I had these shows and I wanted to eat.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think of the other shows as being in a peer position. Like,
that's really nice of you. It's not true, but it's very nice of you.
Are definitely better than me, but...
No. You know what my manager Bonnie does when she calls Bikram and he's not available to come to the phone? She'll say, well, I assume he's in therapy now. And I'm not sure that's the best way to suck up to the boss.
Not to anybody. No, it's just not a diplomatic thing to say. You wouldn't be a person who does interpersonal relationship type professions like managing if you say things like that.
Yeah. No, it would be strike against you.
Yes, it would.
All right, so if anybody ever did that. Now, so how does it work? And by the way, because really I think of you as our boss and never realized you were that fat, but I do think of you as our boss. But so
for the at-home audience, they can't see me.
No, Jesse's not a fat man.
Corpulently.
No, he's a rail, which is an old expression. So, that's really not good for being a person who talks on a show to have short-term memory loss.
No,
but
it
boy.
Isn't. No, that's why you have me
Let's introduce Jesse Thorne.
No, we have. He's here.
Oh my gosh, am I having stress? It's stressful having the boss.
Yeah, but you know, he doesn't think. Now, if Bikram were here, we'd have a lot to answer for.
He does. You know,
we'd probably have to hide Bonnie.
Do you and Bikram have that kind of relationship where he's really the guy doing the heavy lifting and you just stop by every now and then and give a wacky creative suggestion?
Yes.
That's like
exactly.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the old guy on Mad Men where I just have my own office where no one's allowed to wear shoes.
And all these bottles of single malt scotch that get lower every morning.
Do you know, I've never seen Mad Men, but the Thornbirds I love.
No reason why you should see Mad Men.
Should we talk Lonesome Dove or?
Yeah,
you know my wife, Jeannie Simpson, was on something like 5 or 6 episodes of Mad Men.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Just for that alone, I think you might tune into one of them.
I don't know how to. Is it still on?
No, it's done. No,
okay, well, then what's the point?
Yeah, good point.
You're going to have me flipping the dial looking. It's not even there. That's ridiculous.
Did you have a question for Jesse about podcasts?
I did. because I do think of you as our boss, Jesse, I want, if there's stuff that you notice that could be better, don't spare Adam's feelings. That's what I'm saying. You know, just tell us.
First of all, you're going to need more people and creatures in this room.
Okay.
I think we have 75 now. We should go up to 125, right?
In this room?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking around here.
You guys are doing
a fantastic job. You know, I'm not going to...
It is a very small
studio. We're thrilled to have you.
We're delighted. Being part of the family.
We're so happy.
But you participate regularly on John Hodgman's...
Yeah, I created the show.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, so
I mean,
naturally,
John is the primary creative force behind it. But
if you think of these as your children, then naturally you'll be a little bit partial to John.
The nice thing about Judge John Hodgman is... John is the judge. It's a fake judge show where John's the judge and I'm the bailiff. And so John has to do everything.
Yeah.
Like I walk in, our producer Jennifer hands me a piece of paper to read.
Right.
And then just every 7 minutes I yell at someone.
Right.
Just because I can. And I come out smelling like a rose because John is so funny and wise. And
that's exactly how Paula treats this podcast, except she doesn't read the piece of paper you hand her.
Paula was on my now NPR show when I was still in college at UC Santa Cruz.
Really?
That is a true story. This was, I mean, we're looking at
nobody's more shocked than Paula Poundstone.
2003, maybe, something like that. Maybe 2004.
What
maybe
show
I was just
was
out of college. It was called The Sound of Young America at the time. You were playing the Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium, I think. And nobody ever came to Santa Cruz that we wanted to have on the show. So if somebody came to Santa Cruz that we were excited about,
you would be on them.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
We once booked Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, wow.
Screech from Saved by the Bell.
I heard you say Dustin and I was so excited.
No.
Because I thought you were going to say Dustin Hoffman.
He turns out to be a genuinely horrible human being.
Dustin Diamond?
He later stabbed someone.
Oh.
At the time, he was just telling street jokes about disabled people.
That's your gateway crime right there.
Yeah, exactly. And then, Paula was coming to town, and I did a phone interview with Paula. We didn't meet in real life, but we did a phone interview. And by phone interview, I mean we had a 60-minute slot. And
so
I think
you got one
I
question
got it,
in.
Yeah, two, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty high batting average.
She was
right there.
Kind of a Mr. Smith goes to Washington situation.
Yeah.
It was filibustering.
No doubt. You know, she was on Jimmy Pardo's podcast, which is on another network, but
right.
It's called Never Not Funny.
Oh, a good friend of mine, Jimmy Pardo.
Fantastic podcast. Paula was slotted for, what, a one-hour slot, right?
I think 45 minutes.
I think I listened to it the other day. I'm almost through it now. I'm listening to it in real time. It's it's the longest episode he's done.
You might want to save it for a flight to Europe.
I might want to save it to a flight to China. I mean, it's so I feel your pain on that one.
Yeah.
But you know, I believe Paula has produced some data, right?
Oh, I have.
Because, you know,
yeah,
when the boss comes
Jesse.
Over, you want to show him like a PowerPoint presentation.
Absolutely.
To let you know.
Right. But,
and I'm going to need to know about measurables.
Yeah, measurables.
Well,
so Paula has
on
some
our
sort
last
of bullshit
episode,
measurable thing.
It's not
here.
Bullshit in any way.
Okay, all right.
I took my job very seriously here. On our last episode, we had a data journalist
from the Los Angeles Times.
And he also was, what's it called, Tony? What's the thing he could do? It was like he a graphic. So he does like graphics for the LA Times.
He's a data journalist who creates graphics for the LA Times, both the paper version and the website.
Infographics. Yeah.
Infographics.
Precisely. I don't mind it when he repeats it, but, you know, I had said just that.
He's in the data viz field.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. See?
Data visualization.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. That's,
right,
yes,
okay.
Oh, wow.
Now, I haven't seen this yet either, Jesse.
Right, wow. So, this is going to play great. on audio. I know.
Well, Paula excels at sight gags for radio.
All right, wait. I just want to show you. I don't want the.
You're rolling up your own infographic.
I felt like when I and put this in the car today.
For the at-home listener, just if for anybody who's not in this room with us, which I think there's four Americans left who aren't in this room with us.
It's a very crowded studio.
For anyone who's not in the room with us, Paula has whipped out her middle school science project.
Yes.
That's not true at all. Don't listen to him.
This is genuinely, this is on paperboard, and it is a yard wide.
It's a bar graph.
I've made a bar graph here.
And I want to say that one of the bars exceeds the numbers that you've written on the y-axis.
Because it's off the charts.
And it's real. Like, I think Paula understands that she could have just said she was bringing it out.
Yes.
Because I'm not here to fool anyone.
Okay.
No, but you're also not entertaining our listeners with a visual presentation.
Okay, but I'm going to explain it. So I have a bar graph. This on this side, what do they call that? Vertical.
That's the y-axis.
The y-axis. the vertical line.
Making fun of me for naming
it. Is
the it was kind of nerdy.
Yeah. Admittedly.
All right, so on the y-axis.
Oh, stop it. Okay.
These are audience members. These are listeners. Okay, these are listeners. And it goes 1 through 14. That's just as high as I went.
Right.
But is that supposed to represent a number of listeners or
this
by the
is
hundreds
the number
or thousands?
Of listeners. I'm just asking, and I've sketched out our demographics. Each bar represents a demographic. And I'll tell you, the first one is the Felber family.
Okay.
Right.
And they have four. It's Jeannie, Adam, and then their two kids.
So
we're doing very well in that demographic, as you can see.
Honestly, Adam? If your two kids and wife listen to this show, you're way ahead of me.
Yeah, they. You know what?
Well, precisely.
They have heard bits of this show.
One time I said to my wife, "Do you ever listen to Jordan Jesse Go?" And she said, "Jesse, you live at my house."
Yeah. I think that's how they're kind of feeling in my house.
By the way, just to back you up there. Here's the Poundstones, this demographic. The Poundstone family
it's not
is just
a demographic.
It's just
really,
one listener.
More of a psychographic.
it's just one listener, and that's me. The other Poundstones will listen.
Let's move quickly through this, shall we?
All right.
It's a big chart.
I think you're going to appreciate it. The Cat Lovers.
Adam is mad that Paula brought material.
The Cat Lovers. I think it puts Adam in a bad light, but.
I'm mad that she brought visual material.
He's an improviser.
The Cat Lovers are up to seven. The bar goes up to seven. So I'm doing very well with the Cat Lovers.
That's great.
My former high school teachers, three.
Wow.
This one here, literally this bar goes off the charts. This is Thomas Coyne creditors.
Oh.
Are you familiar with the Thomas Coyne situation?
No.
On our fourth podcast on your fine network, it shows that you're not a regular listener to us, but that's okay.
I don't like podcasts. Don't care for
them. I get you.
So,
on one of our... Let's put a pin in that for a minute.
Yeah. Well,
on
explain,
one of our,
sure.
On our fourth episode, we were going to have survival expert, survivalist, and trainer Thomas Coyne to tell us how to survive bear attacks. And he never made it to the studio.
Oh, my
we
gosh.
We assume that Miranda Street ate him.
Okay.
We don't
might
know
be
what
dead, he might not be. We're having our listeners, we've launched a nationwide search for him.
So we're having people write into our website or our Facebook and say where they haven't seen him.
Okay.
Where they've looked.
That's
good.
He's probably in a debtor's prison, right?
He could be.
It's very possible. Yeah. I can tell you that the people who he owes money to are our number one. They're really our strongest demographic.
Yes.
John Hodgman doesn't listen at all.
No.
How do you know that?
Right here.
Oh, well, it's on your chart. Yes.
It's right here on my chart.
She has a research staff.
Yeah, I see that there, yeah.
You don't seem to know how to interpret these results.
No, I know how to interpret these results. I just question how the data was gathered.
It's magic marker.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
All right. And then cats, we're up to 14. 14 cats listening.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
She has 14 cats in her house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then Hungarians.
You should spay and neuter the cats.
Yes.
You won't have that problem.
Yeah, eventually the problem goes away.
We have one Hungarian listener.
Oh, that's true. Nice.
That we're very proud of.
At a university in Hungary who's using our podcast to teach his English class, teaching English as a second language.
Yeah, isn't that
lovely? We had him on the podcast just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Same way that Kavanaugh is listening to John Hodgman. in order to develop his
judging skills.
Judging skills, exactly.
Oh, I thought I was just assuming you were going to say humanity.
So, showing that fantastic.
Well, you know, I think that Tony, who's still desperately trying to get the dog waste off her shoe.
Yeah.
And this is a small studio, isn't it? I think that Tony, you're going to post a picture of that on our website, aren't you?
Because is this leading to a question for Jesse Thorne? Is my question. Yeah.
She's just trying to hype the poop pic.
No, I'm trying to show him the people that we already have, and I'd like to know, like, how do we reach more people?
You go on Jimmy Pardo's podcast.
Well, I did do that.
You're coming on my podcast sometime. You're coming on Jordan Jesse Go sometime soon.
Not Tuesday morning at 9:30.
Okay.
Because that's her therapy.
Yeah, you got therapy.
By therapy, but it is a time where I have an appointment on the phone. It happens to not be therapy.
Sorry, not therapy.
No,
doctor's
not
appointment.
But I guess if there's a question here, what else should we be doing, boss?
Precisely.
To bring our numbers up.
I mean,
do you have the Glengarry leads?
We want to get the snake knives.
Diet Cokes are for closers, Felber.
Ah, damn it!
I think door-to-door is your best option.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good idea. You mean just doing the show door-to-door?
Yeah.
Going to homes and knocking? That's quite a traveling show.
Table-to-table in a Mexican restaurant?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
It's like
mariachis, but even more annoying.
Yeah. So people will be trying to talk to one another and order food, and I'll be going...
You'll be making a balloon animal out of a birthday balloon.
I'm going to do the number four special.
Is that what you're doing right now?
I'm making a balloon sculpture of someone's burrito and taco and rice dish.
Yes, if somebody put a bicycle pump in the middle of a burrito and rice dish and it was viscous enough, it might look something like that birthday balloon.
Every now and then he'll throw out a term like viscous. I just let it ride.
You're very tolerant.
Congratulations, nerd.
Wow. You're both on that page now. So, no, is there anything else that we should be doing?
Oh, I hate nerds.
I know.
I'm such a jock.
Jesse Thorne hates nerds.
I'm so tough.
You guys should see the
size
of him.
He's ripped.
It's no wonder he does.
I'm a real lunkhead.
Go, Jesse, go.
He's a musclehead is what he is. But in seriousness, what do you do to grow a podcast that we're not doing? Or are we doing everything?
You're doing a lot of things. I mean, the thing that I usually tell people is to find...
Who do you tell this to?
Affinity. Just my dogs.
Okay.
But their podcast is underappreciated.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
But I think like the real answer to that question is, you know, the bar to entry on subscribing to a podcast is relatively high. You have to have a pretty big good feeling about a show to subscribe to it and take it every week. And it feels like a lot to do that. And so I ask people usually to think about the affinity groups. Who are the people who are passionate about the things that your show is about?
Right.
And how can you find them in numbers and build relationships in those spaces?
Oh. That's great. That is well put. And let's move that then towards the subscribe button itself.
Yeah, what does that mean? Because, you know, when I'm on stage, you know, I tell them about the podcast, but then I say, you're going to come to this button that says subscribe. Please don't panic. You're not going to get a magazine on a regular basis, or you're not going to get your MasterCard bill and go, what the hell is that?
You're right, Paula. Like, I think that hitting a subscribe button does feel like a lot.
Is there any way, Ricardo, that we can isolate that phrase, you're right, Paula? I'd like to just play that over and over again.
Like a soundboard?
But you're saying there is a entrance price, like a psychic entrance price.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, it's a little bit like when you're standing in front of... a bunch of breakfast cereals in the grocery store, and it should be easy to pick one of the breakfast cereals.
Sure.
But because there's six of them, you kind of get caught between them.
Right.
It's that kind of cost. Like, it literally costs you nothing to hit subscribe on a podcast.
Right.
But it feels like a lot.
Yes, it feels like you're committing to something, when in fact you're not.
Yeah.
I don't find it hard to find breakfast cereals.
Do you buy breakfast cereals a lot?
Because I don't, but when I did...
But nowadays it's much harder because there's been a flavor explosion in the... So, like, you can't just
this
go to
This is industry
get,
lingo, but go ahead.
Is flavor explosion? Because I felt like I just kind of coined that. But it is. It's a thing in that, like, you might think you're just going to go buy some Rice Krispies, but if you hit the aisle and look for Rice Krispies now, there's 1,400 different flavors of Rice Krispies.
The number one problem in my life right now is finding grape nuts.
Right, just grape nuts?
Grape nuts, which is a type of cereal that's based on sticks.
Well, what you do is
it's a
stick-based cereal.
It's like what you find in the bottom of a fish tank.
No, here's how you get grape nuts. You pick a male grape and you flip it over.
Given the taste of that cereal, I'm not going to say you're wrong.
Yeah.
I would not have a hard time. I go and I look for the big color striped toucan.
Really?
Yeah.
There might be alternate flavors of Fruit Loops.
There
right now,
aren't.
Tony, Anita Hull, while we're continuing this conversation, would you please look up the Fruit Loop dilemma? Now, Jesse, I need to move quickly towards an issue that we touched on earlier.
The Fruit Loop dilemma, by the way, is my favorite late 70s Robert Redford thriller.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because right up until the moment he finds the toucan, you don't think it's going to work out right.
The Fruit Loop dilemma.
So, let's talk about the tri-poly blend and how it doesn't exist.
Let's bring it back to what's important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's focus in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you mean a tri-blend, Paula.
No, Jesse.
So let's go over some of the key points, Paula.
It's not easy to speak
first of all,
truth
is this
to
a
power,
so, is this a soft textile?
Is it a what?
Soft textile?
I have no idea.
Is it appealing?
Is your shirt soft?
It's a remarkably soft tri-poly blend.
Okay.
What are you kidding?
Okay. How many fibers are in this blend?
Try.
Okay, three.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Latin or something for three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam would know. He's a nerd.
Yeah.
Oh, is that Latin? That's key Swahili for three.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Three.
How many of them are polyester? Adam, I don't think I can help you with this.
No.
I think the machine is broken.
In fact, arguably two of them are, because isn't rayon a form of polyester that was invented by like DuPont or something?
No, rayon is actually made out, I actually know this
oh,
for-
Oh, great. What is it?
Rayon is actually made out of plant material. It's actually made out of natural material.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's-
So your tri-poly blend actually has a single poly.
Exactly. Like one of the things you do to tell if something is rayon is if you burn it, it smells like burning leaves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But then you were like, great, I'm not wearing animal products, right. But I've burnt the garment.
And then you've ruined your shirt. I
want to point out that there
are
now three flavors of Fruit Loops out there.
What are the three?
There's original, there's Fruit Loops marshmallow cereal, and Kellogg's Wild Berry Fruit Loop cereal.
Okay, but it still wouldn't be hard to find. You go to the original.
And then
it's not hard to
Fruit
find.
Loops, oops, all toucan.
Yes, oops, all toucan.
I love Fruit Loops.
It's a reference to a proliferation of the Captain Crunch empire. Yeah.
Oh, I
there's
didn't.
The oops all berries, Captain Crunch.
I don't do anything nautical.
What what proportion of standard Fruit Loops would you say is toucan? It's got to be like 90% wheat, right?
Right, 90% wheat. There's so little real toucan in it these days. In the 50s, it was a good 20%.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no toucan in Fruit Loops. That's just the emblem. That's the mascot.
I think they're made of toucan.
No, they're not made of toucan. That's a common mistake.
Look, I'm glad
you brought that up.
I'm no nerd. I'm just a regular meathead jock, but I'm pretty sure they're made of toucan.
Really is. So wait a minute.
You know, he answered that question while lifting. He's benching 310 right now.
Yeah. I've been planking this entire show.
I'm just sitting here with my abacus.
Adam's just looking up words. I was going to ask you something important, Jesse. So, all right. So, which show's been on longer, Go Jesse Go or
Jordan Jesse Go, named after myself and my co-host Jordan Morris?
Oh, Jordan Jesse Go. But you do. I got that. I was confused because you use a logo that's like Go Dog Go, right?
It is a little bit like Go Dog Go.
Yeah, it's very much like Go Dog Go.
I like that you put your co-host in the title of the podcast. That's
I put
nice
him before me too.
That's very nice of you.
He's the funny one, to be frank.
It's a very giving gesture. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Nobody, you're kind of sucking around for nobody listens to Paul Poundstone or Adam.
Just saying, wasn't my decision anyway.
Yeah, or Adam.
Was the question, which of these have I been doing the longest?
Well,
which of my shows have I been doing the longest?
Yeah.
I started doing Bullseye, which at the time was called The Sound of Young America, when I was
I was
sophomore in college. That's true.
2003, yeah. I think.
And
pretty much.
Jordan from Jordan Jesse Go was my original co-host. I was his RA. My sophomore year, his freshman year of college, and we used to do the show. We used to do the show live every week on KZSE in Santa Cruz, California. And basically, what happened is I graduated from school, and I thought about quitting doing the show. I was living in San Francisco, where I grew up, and my wife, then girlfriend, I said to her, "I'm thinking about quitting the show." And she looked at me kind of quietly for a while, and she said, "Well, you don't do anything else."
Oh.
Yeah, and so I kept doing it.
Yeah, she is a laser focus. She's really able to see right to the bottom of things. Mm-hmm.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I... Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the
best.
Okay,
best
never mind.
Best I ever had. Best I ever had.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paul, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, is it Renee? And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
All right. So where did you go to find? So how? What was the phrase you used to find the people that?
You know, the truth is, I got lucky. Like, I started podcasting in 2004.
Yeah.
That's not only before Serial invented podcasting,
right?
But before Ricky Gervais invented podcasting previous to Serial.
Right. You're really the inventor of podcasts, and I want to point out, it's also only 3 years after the invention of the pod.
Yeah, exactly.
The iPod came out in, I think, late 2001?
Yeah. At the time that I started podcasting my show, the only other podcasters were basically ham radio enthusiasts, which is to say just like people who would be like, oh, man, we got microphones. I got a new microphone today. That's the subject of this week's show. People were excited about the technology of the thing. So I think the fact that I was really trying to create content put me in the top 20 podcasters.
Right away.
Right away. Mm-hmm. And I think I mostly just hung around. I don't think I have any special insights.
So you're saying you've never had to go, even though you had this great recommendation about how to get more listeners. You've never had to do that.
You know, in those days, it's funny, but you recently went on Jimmy Pardo's podcast.
I did.
Jimmy Pardo's co-host is a guy named Matt Belknap, who you met on the show, I'm sure. And Matt and I have known each other forever because we used to be, speaking of what a jock I am, we used to be buddies on his comedy message board, aspecialthing.com, where he would write recaps of alternative comedy shows in LA. He'd say who was on them and what happened. And, and then the comics would go to get mad at him. So it would be like Patton Oswalt and all these guys from the LA alternative comedy scene in the late 90s, early 2000s. Mr. Shoga, Paul F. Tompkins.
Paul F. Tompkins, I was going to say.
Scott Aukerman, another podcasting pioneer.
Sure.
The co-founder of Earwolf. They would all go on this message board to talk about these comedy shows that were happening at these little clubs in Los Angeles. And then all these comedy dorkuses like myself from around the world would go on there because it was just exciting to have a window into that.
Oh, wow. And that was the, I never knew about any of this.
Yeah, and that was the original place where I started pushing The Sound of Young America in the early 2000s. It was great for two things. One was promoting The Sound of Young America. And one was reading something that the comedy writer Dino Stamatopoulos would share that he should not have shared, like the time he drank Courtney Cox's breast milk.
Oh, wow. He shared that.
Yeah, he shared that. Then later he deleted it.
Right.
Sorry, Dino, by the way. But yeah, like it was.
So he had.
At least he didn't try to make cheese, I say.
He had pretty much erased that. That's long been forgotten until today. Is that correct?
Today. Right.
Yeah. So now there's going to be another big outcry.
Well, there probably won't be an outcry.
In the end of.
I think we're going to find out if anybody listens to Paula Poundstone.
In the end.
And 14 cats are going to be like, what?
Courtney Cox is going to be on my new chart. In the end of Grapes of Wrath, Rosa Sharon breastfeeds a starving man. Do you remember that?
No, I haven't read the Grapes of Wrath.
I thought you said you went to college.
Yeah, when I was an American Studies major.
Yeah.
I wrote papers about rap music.
Yeah, exactly. What does Grapes of Wrath have to do with America?
I read of Mice and Men. That's a book.
Right.
This is shocking to me. Shocking.
You're shocked. Well, I'm gonna move.
I went to what's that town that Steinbeck, where the Steinbeck Center
Monterey.
Is? I went to right next to Monterey in Salinas, California once.
Oh, beautiful up there.
Oh, very gorgeous. Very beautiful. I saw Gallagher perform.
Okay. You know, this
had
just
you gone
doesn't...
to the next town over, there's you know, the actual Cannery Row, I believe, and there's the aquarium with the otters and stuff. It's really great.
I just said to you, Jesse Thorne, yeah. I just said, have you ever read Grapes of Wrath, and you said, no, but I saw Gallagher in Salinas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some pretty beautiful stuff he did on that stage.
And
he smashes a watermelon.
Point, if in this day and age you buy a Gallagher ticket, he will offer you the option of breastfeeding.
I got free,
that is nice.
We got free tickets to see Gallagher. He was supposed to come on the show but canceled, but they gave us free tickets to see him. So we're like, okay, we'll go. Definitely thought Salinas was closer to Santa Cruz than it is.
Uh-huh.
But we drove to Salinas.
Wow, yeah, it's not very close.
And what I remember is sitting in the crowd before the show started, and Jordan turned to me and he said, man, I hope he uses a hammer to smash stuff in this show. And then someone in front of us turned around and says, I've seen him 3 times. He always does that.
So your friend was just kidding? He was just kidding?
Of course.
Yeah. Wow.
The thing,
Gallagher's going to use a hammer.
The Gallagher
That's
show,
like if somebody had never heard me before, had never knew nothing about me, and they came here and they said, gee, I hope she has a t-shirt made of a tri-poly blend.
Yeah.
That's
not even
that's so much.
I genuinely believed that watching the Gallagher show would be like watching your beloved goofy uncle perform and then smash things. It turns out it's like watching your racist homophobic goofy uncle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's boy. Impossible. He has long hair.
It was so rough. Yeah. I barely made it through that thing, but he loves his fans. He loves
his
fans.
He does love his fans. That's absolutely true. Well, you know what? I'm gonna move us to the Paula sum up moment. So Jesse Thorne, thank you for advising us on how to make a better podcast. Paula, can you synthesize that and give some advice to our listeners who might want to make a podcast?
I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna ask our house band Vincent to give me a little clarinet background on my summary. You want to be successful in the world of podcasting? You can make a show, and if you're on with John Hodgman, make him do most of the work. You have to find the ways to find your fans. I'll be giving out shirts at the animal shelter. If you start your own network, get a managing director, aka Bikram. and you be the creative force. Just stop by every day at an unpredictable hour and ask, can't we get a show about sponges? Or, what about if the guests give blood on air? Or, let's get the rights to a John Hodgman fragrance. We'll make a mint.
Jesse Thorne is the founder and owner of the Maximum Fun Podcast Network and runs too many other things to mention in a short back announce. Thank you, Jesse, for being part of our show.
What a joy it's been. Thank you guys very much for having me.
The cat of the week is Tobias from Little Chute, Wisconsin. Coming up next, does your toilet ever back up? Paula, I know yours does with great regularity. I've heard this from many, many people. We'll hear from Star Tomlinson, owner and CEO of The Drain Company, about how to deal with life's nastiest problem, the backed up toilet. That's coming up after a word from Maximum Fun about another one of the great podcasts they carry. And since we have the founder and CEO of Maximum Fun on, we thought it would be a unique opportunity to have him cue up this promotion. Jesse Thorne, the microphone is yours.
Thank you, Adam, and thanks for writing this introduction. You know, as titular father of Maximum Fun, I can't have any favorites among our many quality podcasts. It would be like a parent admitting to favoring one child over another. Yes, I traveled to far reaches of North Hollywood to be here tonight on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, and I have been willing to sacrifice a valuable 2 hours of my insanely overscheduled life to sit in the cramped Ray Horseman studio and appear on this particular show. For what? A few Doritos? No. I came here because Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is brilliantly witty. I particularly enjoy Paula's insightful advice as she investigates the world around her. And certainly, Adam Felber's fashion choices compare favorably with John Hodgman's.
Oh, that's so nice of you, Jesse.
But don't let the fact that I was willing to step around a urine-soaked mattress on Miranda Street, not to mention walking past an actual toilet discarded on the curb, as well as dodging a dangerous-looking hobo on the corner, don't let the fact that I was willing to endure all this to appear on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone mislead you into thinking it's my favorite Maximum Fun podcast. Of course, I can't love any one podcast on my network more than any other. That wouldn't be fair. It would actually be inappropriate. It's just not right to have a favorite child. So as I queue up this promotion, the time has come for me to say goodbye to this little shining light of humor and wisdom. Farewell, my friends here at Ray Horseman Studio. Thank you for providing me with a burly security guard to escort me back to my car. Let's not say goodbye. Let's say au revoir until we meet again. And now, here's a word about some other show we have on.
Hi, I'm the JV Club podcast, Janet Varney, and I used to suffer from indecision. I couldn't choose between Star Wars and Star Trek, whether to call or text, or the best way to cook my eggs. But now, thanks to my weekly dose of We Got This on Maximum Fun, my decisions are made for me. Thanks, Mark and Hal!
Warning, We Got This may cause shouting, phone throwing, the illusion that the hosts can hear you, laughter on public transit, and death.
We Got This with Mark and Hal. We know what's best.
Ooh, thank you, Vincent. Our house band is fantastic tonight.
Fantastic, yeah.
Vincent Camuglia.
Vincent Camuglia.
He has brought three different clarinets tonight. A regular clarinet, a piccolo, and one of those really big ones.
I can't see him on the other side, so I assumed it was all coming out of the same horn. But
No. Three different things. And I don't think they call them horns in the world of clarinets. Do they, Vincent?
They do not.
Yeah.
Anyway, Paula, I understand that you are trying to eat more healthily.
I have been trying to eat more healthily. Yes. Because you know what? I hate to confess this, but the double stuff Oreos that I bring here.
Yes, and the Doritos. Yes.
When we don't finish them, I often eat them by myself throughout the week. Sometimes
really?
It's my main course.
Because I leave this taping almost every week with a feeling of unease and sickness for having eaten double stuffed Oreos and Doritos, and thank my stars that I'm not eating them the rest of the week.
I feel gross all the time.
Okay, well, then
I'm not saying it's a good thing. Uh-huh. I'm saying I need to return to a life of actual meals.
Well, then you might be ready for HelloFresh. We're brought to you, in fact, tonight partly by HelloFresh.
You know, I did make a meal from them one time.
Yeah.
And A, it was delicious. B, there was enough that I had it for dinner, and then I had it again the next day. But the great thing, see, in my house, part of the reason I eat so much junk food is that I'm only home half the week.
Right.
Because I'm out on the road eating out of a vending machine the rest of the week. So I can't keep produce in the house.
No, but it goes bad.
Right. So what happens with HelloFresh is that they give you a bag full of all the ingredients you need to make that one meal.
Yeah, maybe I should say it's a meal kit delivery service. It delivers your favorite recipes and ingredients so you can just cook them, eat them, and enjoy them.
Right, exactly. Right. And you don't have to, you know, there might be a little bit left over, I suppose, from the produce within, but for the main, you're all the ingredients that you need for that one meal.
The amount that you need are in there, and that's all.
It's pre-measured.
It's pre-measured, and they actually have three plans. I don't know which one you chose, but they have
classic,
veggie, and family.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that means for a vegetarian family.
Yeah. Well, family is when you eat your youngest.
Oh, okay.
But there's
I don't think
spices.
They do that. No,
okay.
No.
All right,
I'm
I made
pretty
that
sure
up.
They don't deliver your own family members to you in meal-sized portions.
Grandma was delicious.
Now, the recipes, they say, take only about 30 minutes to make. Is that your experience? It took about 30 minutes to make?
Yeah. I mean, I am not a big cook. And
so
I
you
was,
like not having to plan your meal, just having the whole meal delivered to you with instructions.
But the other thing is I was able to do it. It wasn't something.
Oh, that's
something,
good to know, because yeah. You don't even know how to turn on your broiler, I understand.
Well, no, I know how to turn it on. It depends.
Well, listeners, you can subscribe to get delicious, filling meals delivered every week for less than $10 per serving. And as we've heard from Paula, it was a big enough serving that there were leftovers.
Yeah, yeah. And it was delicious. I got to say, it was
Genuinely, what was the dish?
Delicious.
Was it some kind of pasta
thing? I can't remember
thing?
The name of it, but it was, yeah, it was a pasta with, you know, vegetables and sauce and the, you know, the spices.
There was a spice packet.
Yes. I did some, you know, I did some chopping and some braising.
But nothing complicated.
Nothing too complicated.
But you
but
had
really,
fresh
really
food
delicious.
Cooked in your house.
Absolutely.
By you.
I felt like a person.
Fantastic. Well, for listeners, for $20 off your first three boxes, for a total of $60 off, visit HelloFresh.com/Poundstone60 and enter promo code Poundstone60.
That is a deal.
Wow, that is some hot clarinet. Paula, you know what I've wanted to ask you for a long time, and I finally built up the nerve to do it. How's your toilet doing?
You know what? I'm glad you asked. My toilet makes a gurgling noise. Like, at least once a month, it starts to make a gurgling sound.
Okay.
And about 2 days later, it just refuses to respond to the handle.
You mean it doesn't say anything, or
it just won't? You push it, and it makes a louder draining sound, but it does not.
So the gurgle is like the death rattle of your toilet.
Yeah, exactly. The gurgle.
And you got 2 days, and
yeah,
then it backs up, and then what do you do?
Well, then I have to call my landlord.
And your landlord?
My landlord actually said to me one time. I think I called her on like a Saturday, and I said that this, you know, the toilet wasn't working, and she said, "Well, we'll get someone out there on Monday."
Oh,
and
yeah.
She, and
no,
she
you
said,
can't
don't
do that.
And I was like, yeah. And she goes, well, don't you have neighbors?
You know what it is? I think your landlord is what scientists call cheap.
Yeah.
And
well,
I think plumbers
be.
Tend to call to cost more on weekends.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they do.
Because I think it's
yeah.
an emergency situation on weekends.
Yeah.
So what is it you want to know?
Well, I want to know all things plumbing, but I want to know how does it even work?
What do you mean, how does it even work?
Does it have something to do with gravity? When you put in plumbing, are you attaching up to the plumbing that's already been? Like,
well,
aren't you hooking up to someone else, to, like, everybody's plumbing?
Sort of. Yeah, well, you're tying yourself into the water supply that the rest of the city is. The
That's
municipal
what I
water
meant.
Supply.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I understand it, because I'm going to try to save our guest a little bit of time here.
Yeah.
As I understand it, your municipal water supply is sending water down its pipes under pressure.
Oh, under pressure.
Yes, exactly. So that when you open a tap, it's not so much, and she's nodding, so I'm feeling great about this. It's not so much that there's suction pulling it out or anything. It's just that it's already pressurized inside the pipes, and when you open a tap.
It's pressurized.
Yeah.
Oh, like an airplane.
Like, well, pressure is also a concept that, no.
No, like, okay, so do you remember the movie Airport?
Airport.
Yeah, not airplane. Airport.
I'm aware that that movie happened.
So when the side of the plane got a hole blown in it, people were sucked out of there.
Right.
They could be sucked right out the window. So there's pressure inside the
pipes. That's also a manifestation of the physical phenomenon known as pressure. Then,
okay.
In that way, yes.
When I turn on my faucet, if it's not hooked up properly, I could be sucked right up the spigot. Is that correct?
Absolutely not correct.
All right. Well, thank goodness we have an expert.
Yes, we do. And let's
you're not making any sense.
Get to that. Star Tomlinson is the owner and CEO of The Drain Company, a plumbing company her grandfather started in 1969. Please welcome Star Tomlinson.
Hello there.
Welcome, Star. You're under the hot interrogation lights tonight.
I feel that.
I don't know how that happened. Here at Ray Horseman Studios, sometimes the lights get focused in weird ways. And if you want to shift over, you're welcome.
It's not enough pressure already, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, let's get to that.
Speaking of pressure, did you hear Adam's lame-o explanation of how...
It was pretty darn good.
It was good. Really? Did that explain the whole thing? But so am I right about the... it's the same kind of pressure as on an airplane?
No.
Well, it's pressure.
I mean, it's pressure. It's just not air pressure. It's water pressure.
It's water pressure. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Okay. All right. Well, you're the expert. If you say so, I believe you. So when you turn on the spigot, why does the water come out?
Because the pressure that is connected to the municipal water supply.
Okay, great.
There is one thing that between the water pressure and your home, though, is called the regulator.
The regulator
regulates how fast the water comes in or out.
Oh, so you could actually, if you feel like you're not getting enough pressure from your sink or your shower, you can actually find that regulator thing and make the pressure higher?
Exactly. Or if you're having lots of leaks in the house, like your faucet's starting to leak, then you know that the pressure's too high.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. You know, what usually turns out to be the problem at our house is the tree roots growing through my pipes, and so they do a thing called snaking it.
Correct.
Or rooting. That's what rooters do. That's where the word comes from.
Have they put a camera down there to see that they're actually roots?
I don't know if they put a camera down there. What we did, we didn't make a film, but we put a director down there, a very little director.
A tiny director.
And
in the pipes.
And we did a play.
What play?
A play about the drain.
And did that clear it up?
It showed what was happening.
Well, that's
it's characters. Mm-hmm. One guy played a tree root. Mm-hmm. So they snake it. That's what they told me they did. They put it, they snaked it. Yeah. It's very loud.
So what can Paula do when the gurgling starts?
Well, the gurgling is the noise that's getting ready to something's backing up. You could check the kind of toilet paper that you're using. You could check.
Right now I'm using bamboo.
Well, that might stop the line, too, you know, bamboo.
Not the whole bamboo. I'm using. It's a toilet paper made from bamboo.
So is it a house?
It's a house.
Okay.
Yeah.
So part of the problem, too, is low flush toilets are a big problem.
Oh, yeah. We do have low flush toilets because we want to conserve water.
So water is what you need to take the waste to where it's supposed to go. So if it's not getting flushed enough, you're going to have stoppages. It doesn't get to go all the way down to where it's supposed to go. It stops. You flush again. It goes a little bit further, but doesn't go all the way down.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you're putting more bamboo down there, and it's just a...
I have a terrible confession to make. Many years ago, when my kids were, I don't know, one of the first babies I ever had, I used to put the wipes in the toilet because I didn't know you weren't supposed
to. Worst.
And so one day, I think I was actually in the bathroom. I don't think I was using it, but I was in the bathroom while the plumbers were outside and they had found this busted pipe and all these wipes were out there. And the guy actually said to me, "Don't put anything stupid down the toilet." And I thought, well, I don't think I could get you to climb in there, sir.
Oh, man.
I didn't say it out loud.
Yeah, but you were thinking it.
I did think
it. That would have been quite a snap.
I don't think it would have helped.
Well, you know, the problem is those packaging say it's flushable. So people say they're flushable.
Precisely.
But they're not biodegradable, so they're technically not flushable.
Yeah.
Because if they get stuck, they're just going to be there.
They congregate in the line and cause you all sorts of problems.
Yeah, they're having a meeting in there.
Kleenex,
and all of a sudden they blew out.
Kleenex is not allowed to go down there either.
Kleenex.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Kleenex is not biodegradable as
but
well.
But it seems to be made of the same stuff that your bathroom tissue is.
It's not really.
Wow. Oh. What's Kleenex made of?
It's more fibrous, more, it's harder to break down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I do Taekwondo.
No, when I used to work as a sunglass technician, which means I sold sunglasses at a sunglass hut in Newport, New Jersey.
But you were in charge of the whole hut.
The whole hut, and the one at South Jersey Seaport. I had to educate people not to clean their glasses with Kleenex,
mm-hmm.
because it's made of
It's wood.
Wood fibers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll scratch your glasses.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Kleenex, that stuff will kill you.
Wow. And I've been...
We should say tissue, just to be safe.
I've been flushing my sunglasses.
You've been what?
Flushing my sunglasses.
Now, how smart is that, Star?
Yeah, that gets stuck down there.
You know, we've had to fish out some sunglasses from time to time.
Is that the weirdest thing you've had to pull out of a drain?
I get this question so often.
Really?
I told Tony the story. Do I tell the story?
Go ahead.
Yeah, because so few people live in Tony's
right?
house.
It's so funny. So 20 years ago.
One of the demographics we're going after, though. Yeah, like, people living in Tony's house.
She will listen to us someday.
Yeah.
Back in the day, probably about 18 years ago, we were training this young guy. It happens to me. His name was Tony.
Uh-huh.
And it was his first day on the job. First day on the job by himself after uh-huh. training. He was going out. This his first call he gets. He goes, I'm probably going to be a little laughing. He opens the door and there's this great big guy standing at the door going, hurry up, come on, before my wife gets home. I'm like, he's like, what? What's going on? And he takes him to the bathroom and there was a big dildo stuck in the toilet.
A big one.
Wow.
A big one.
Uh-huh.
A big one.
Yeah, the little ones don't stick.
And he's
stick.
Like, please hurry before my wife gets home. And like, Tony, poor guy, he puts on his gloves. He starts going in there and he grabs the dildo and with his wet gloves, it flips and flies all over, the bounces off the wall, and bouncing off the toilet, and the guy's mortified, of course, you know.
Well, what? Yeah, that's not a good moment for anybody, really.
Tony is telling us this story, and I'm telling you to this day, I can't.
You can't what? You can't.
I can't.
She can't use a dildo.
Because now you know where they've been.
Yeah, because she just feels like you never know where those things have been.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, have you, by the way, and Adam and I have had a dispute about this. I say that there's a lot of times where real snakes, not the tool, but like a snake, an asp, comes up through the toilet.
How often does that happen? My feeling is that's
it depends
rare.
On where you live.
I read okay. about it a lot.
Yeah,
I read,
I've seen pictures of snakes in toilets, but...
Yeah.
How about around here in Los Angeles? How common is
Are
that?
Are we talking about the actual reptile?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what else would we... Yes.
I'm
yes.
just kidding.
No, not the one that happened to Tony on his first day. That's
yeah.
different.
It doesn't happen that often, but it has happened, for
yeah.
sure.
I mean, listen, if it happens once, it's
yeah,
too many times.
I agree.
How
Even
would
the
they
snake?
Get in there?
They can go in through the sewer system.
They go in through the sewer
yeah, they go,
system.
Yeah, they don't go unless it's a pet that's you know found its way to some water in the toilet, but it can come through the sewer system.
Oh my God, it's such an atrocious idea. So, have you ever? Do you do a training for that? Like when your guy Tony first started, Do you do like a safety training for what if there's a snake in the toilet?
I have to say, I'll have to add that to the manual because that is not in there.
Don't have to add it to the manual because
no,
it's
do.
Rare. It's scary, yeah. but it's rare.
No, but it, once. You want your people to be ready.
I don't think it's happened in California.
Oh, it has.
No, really? You don't know you, that.
Yeah, don't you remember that Brady Bunch episode where... Right. Marcia got bitten in the ass. Don't you remember that?
That's absolutely not a Brady Bunch episode.
And they lived in California. And it's
well,
it's,
they never
the
really specified where they live.
The teeth, they are not regular teeth. It's a tooth that goes towards the snake,
like an intern tooth.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was an episode of the Brady Bunch.
Yes,
where they were examining Marcia's ass. And the bite pattern
reflected
it.
They did it privately. I mean, yes. They don't show it.
I can't imagine that was an episode of the Brady Bunch.
It was. And Greg and Peter rushed to her
Now,
aid.
If our listeners are out there and they want to give us the title of that episode, feel free to
It was an excellent episode because it really brought the family closer together.
Surely
it
wasn't. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. You're bleeding.
Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, and
I'm
after
sure
that, like,
not...
Cindy's lisp used to scare the hell out of Marcia after that.
Right, because Marcia would think that Cindy
yeah,
was the snake.
Yeah, Cindy was just in the other room. Marcia.
I'm having trouble understanding why we even brought the Brady Bunch into this. But,
because there's a little room for the Brady Bunch in everything you talk about.
That's right.
Now, you mentioned the manual. What else is in the manual? What do you have to train your people on? Do you do any of the training yourself?
I do not.
Do you write the
just
manual?
Does the paperwork.
You just do the paperwork. Yeah. What do you mean the paperwork?
Well, there's three things that my guys need to know, right?
Three okay. things that your
three
guys need to know.
Sure.
What the hell to do when there's a snake in the toilet?
No, that's not one of them.
What else?
And what else?
It's just a funny. It's a payday's on Friday.
Okay.
They need to know there's payday on Friday.
Shit rolls downhill and don't bite your fingernails.
Shit rolls downhill and don't
great.
Bite your fingernails.
Right. Fantastic.
So that's in a manual?
No, but it's like the first.
It's training 101.
It's, oh, it's, I see. It's basic
it's
training.
It's an oral tradition, I would say.
Yeah. Have you ever had an employee work for you and they go on a job and it turns out they're doing it the other company way and not your way?
It's happened, of course. And then we reel them in and retrain them.
Yeah, you know? Reel them in.
Our way is just this. We don't upsell. We don't go in there.
What does that mean?
We don't go in there.
The plumber comes to your house and he says, well, you could do this the cheap way or you could do this the right way.
So it's like copper. Like from Moonstruck. Copper. You don't remember that from Moonstruck? Jesus, if you guys aren't going to do your viewing, I don't know how I can help you.
If you're not going to make a reference of something that's happened in the last 15 years, I don't know what we're going to do. We had the Brady Bunch and Moonstruck.
Everybody remembers, and the Thornbirds. People remember these things. Okay, so they don't come in and say that you can do something that you don't need done. Is
correct.
That right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Are you sure they're not doing that?
I'm positive.
Uh-huh. So they'll say stuff like, well, we could snake it, but we don't have to.
Well, let's talk about Paula's particular problem.
You could just listen to that gurgling sound and poop at your neighbors for a week.
So on Paula's behalf, I want to ask two practical questions. Number one, when the gurgling starts, what should she do?
Well, if the plunging with your plumber's helper, if it's not working.
Because I do plunge.
Right.
Never once has it worked.
Because the stoppage is probably further down the line than the plunger can get to.
Yeah.
And I'm not going in there. There's snakes.
Yeah,
no, there's not.
The only way to really determine what's going on is to put the camera down there to find out what's going on.
Right.
Then we can go to the next step. It could be that it's old pipes and the paper is getting caught onto the pipe, or it could be misusing of the facility as well.
Misusing of the facility.
You could be misusing it. I'm not misusing
my
facility.
Well, you stoop to baby wipes. You could be doing anything.
I don't think you would be misusing it whatsoever.
No, you think other people sneaking into my house and there's only Wendell who works for me. I don't.
But who knows what he gets up to?
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, there's the cats.
We say you use bamboo toilet paper.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's bamboo.
I don't know how they make paper out of it, but it is made of, it says it right on. It's made, and the thing about bamboo is it grows.
You might want to change the paper and see if that makes a difference.
Yeah, you might want to change
it. Well, I've used a variety. It hasn't always been the bamboo. I've only recently discovered that. I began using it while I was on Gilligan's Island.
What?
Yeah, when I was on Gilligan's Island, we were stuck. What happened is I had been on a tour, a three-hour tour.
Yeah, no. I know. And thank you for bringing this up to date with your references.
we gotta go after that 60-year-old demographic.
We're gonna get them someday too. Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta head out to.
They're listening to the podcast. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So, when do you need to call a plumber, and when can you do it yourself? Are there any like do-it-yourself things that you can tell us that would not put you out of business, but save us a call?
Well, I'm a firm believer of maintenance. Maintaining your drains is the best policy.
Maintaining your drains, being proactive. So. You get up in the morning and you say, let's have a drain person come
today.
Just
make it a drain day.
And what do you do on a drain day?
Vinegar and baking soda is like
vinegar and baking
soda. Wait a minute. Yes. Vinegar and baking soda. Yeah. There's a Brady Bunch episode where Peter made the volcano.
That is, in fact, a valid Brady Bunch reference.
Thank you very much.
But it's also a Brady Bunch.
It was about 2 weeks after Marcia was bitten in the ass by a snake.
Which never happened.
You want to make sure you put the baking soda in first and then the vinegar.
So you put in some baking soda in the drain and then pour in some vinegar and it bubbles around in there?
It creates all the bubbling and it starts to clean the pipes. And then you want to follow it up with boiling hot water to flush everything through.
Oh, my God. Wow. So you should do that regularly?
Either that or just heat your pee.
Nobody thinks that.
You know what you do when you have
pee?
Yeah, when you have a really bad fever, like during flu season,
right?
Just try to pee at home as much as you possibly can.
I am certain that's not going to help your pipes.
Yeah, because you would
of any kind.
No, because your body would be. My son was 103.6 once,
which is only 6 degrees above normal temperature.
It's hot.
Yeah, but not in a way that's going to help the pipes. Back me up, Star. Hot pee. How often do they recommend that? And your
all pee is a little bit warm.
Exactly. So thank you very much. So you pour the vinegar. No, the
baking soda.
Baking soda first, then the vinegar.
Baking soda first, and then the vinegar.
Yeah, it's on my website.
Okay. Oh,
and
is
then,
it?
Then you leave it in there for a little bit. Then boil some water.
Yes.
And pour the water in after it.
Yes.
Okay.
How often do you do that?
It really depends on your drains, but it could be once a quarter.
Okay.
Could be once a month.
Once a quarter, meaning
every
quarter
3 months.
Of a year?
Every 3 months.
Yeah, every 3 months.
Every 3 months. Mm-hmm. Boy, you did that math right in your head. I want you listeners to know there's no scratch pad. There's no calculator.
Star just did that.
She just figured out what a quarter of a year is. And we do. We have ficus trees where we live, which is what keeps going through the pipes, I think.
Oh, so you know the pipes problem. It's the ficus trees. Is that
a
thing?
A lot of times.
Because Star
think
was nodding like ficus trees.
Yeah, ficus trees right away.
Ficus trees are the worst.
It was like saying the Joker to Batman. She
flinched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ficus trees.
Anything but the ficus tree. So ficus trees, is it because they have very active root
systems? They're very tenacious. They want water.
They want water.
They will. And trees will travel several blocks to find water.
Wow.
Trees don't travel.
No, she means the roots.
Sorry.
That's absurd.
Yeah. The roots travel.
Has that happened to you? Where you go to park your car and you're like, shit, that tree wasn't there a few minutes ago.
Following the plumbing trucks to find out where the available water is.
Water.
That's a great
water.
Idea.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. That, you know what you have out there? I know a lot about trees. I'm an arborist.
You're not.
You got a talking elm right outside your house. That's what that is.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm an arborist. I have a background
You've
in trees. You
performed at Tree People, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But that doesn't make you an arborist.
Well, close. No. Very close.
Not well.
Talking elm. That's a problem.
It's not.
Talking, traveling elm. Wow. Okay, so they're hungry for water or thirsty for water, and so their roots will gravitate towards the source of the water, and that is often a pipe. Do they know to go into the pipe?
If there's water there, they're going in the pipe.
They're exploring, and, there might be condensation
on the
pipe.
That's such a creepy idea that roots are like feeling
but
around.
But they are. They're just doing slow. That's exactly what they're doing.
Feeling around, like touching your face and stuff, and they're spitting there. What do you got? Some saliva in there? Like,
yes.
Oh, my God. So I sleep on the floor. Now I'm afraid to.
Well, you'd have
to wake up in the morning with ficus roots on my cheeks.
It would take a long time. You would have to sleep for a very long time for ficus root to find its way into your house and into your mouth.
Well, I can't sleep for that long because on Tuesday mornings at 9:30,
you've got that appointment.
Absolutely,
you got to be ready for that.
It's not therapy.
All right. Well, thank you, Star, for unclogging our questions about plumbing. Paula, given this fount of knowledge you now have, what advice do you have for our listeners when it comes to plumbing problems?
Hey, Vincent Camuglia, our house band, could I have a little bit of clarinet music behind my summary of plumbing? Perfect. There's pressure in your pipes, particularly during finals week. Kleenex, bamboo, and large dildos do not flush. Every quarter of the year, which is 3 months, you should pour baking soda, vinegar, and boiling water down your sink. You can also put Betty Crocker Devil's food cake mix and eggs in your tub, but why? The best way to find out what's going on with your troubled plumbing is to put a camera down the pipe. It makes for riveting viewing. Many directors have done some of their best work for the drain company. The reviews are in. I was on the edge of my seat. You could almost feel the pressure. One of the darkest films of Spielberg's career.
Star Tomlinson is the owner and CEO of The Drain Company. Thank you for being on our show. Well, while we take a break to sample the immaculate plumbing here at Ray Horseman Studios, let's check out this great Maximum Fun podcast.
This holiday season, we're flooding the Max Fun store with our biggest ever new product launch. 17 brand new items from some of your favorite shows. I bet you know someone who needs a new shirt or mug, maybe a hoodie. Cozy up in a pair of Max Fun logo socks or keep the sun out of your eyes with a Rocket Dad hat. There is literally no better holiday gift for the Max Fun fan in your life than some new gear. And hey, pick yourself up a little something too. You deserve it. Check it all out at MaxFunStore.com. That's MaxFunStore.com.
Thank you, house band Vincent Camuglia. Paula, you're always on the road. It's a thing you do. Where are you headed off to in the coming weeks?
Well, there are still some tickets available for the first show in Annapolis, Maryland at Ram's Head on Stage, but they've added a second show on the same night, Well, how much sense does that make?
No, that's given your propensity to run long, I can't imagine that's actually going to happen, but okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I've done two shows at the Ram's Head before.
Oh, you have? It worked
out
nice?
Yeah, it works out. Yeah, it's great. Okay. The thing is, it's a very small venue, so it's very intimate. Uh-huh. So that's December 15th, Ram's Head on stage, Annapolis, Maryland, two shows. And on New Year's Eve, I'll be in San Francisco, backed by popular demand. And by the way, that's my demand. For the fourth time,
but
I believe it
is popular.
Now.
But your demand is popular.
I'll be at the Norse Theater. I'm insisting on it. I'm demanding it.
The Norse Theater, and you got it, indeed. Now, if you want to get more information about Paula's touring dates, check out our website, www.paulapoundstone.com.
And, you know, you can also follow me and Adam on Twitter. And you can follow me on Instagram. I still don't know how to use it. I think I've posted things. It's very tough for me to tell.
I have seen it. You have posted
things.
Have I posted
things?
Yeah, you should follow me at some point. I'm on Instagram, too. Now, if you like the show, post a review on Apple. Something like, I love your show, and it's a shame that Adam Felber doesn't get the recognition he deserves. Or, I think Jesse Thorne actually loves your show the best. Stuff like that would be great reviews.
Yeah. These are not partial in any way.
No.
Yeah.
No, I was just reading the copy that Ken Lezebnik wrote, to be honest with you. I had nothing to do with that. No. Although I do think that those sound like very good reviews to write.
Those would be great reviews.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They don't all have to say, Adam's on the show too.
See, I like stuff like Poundstone's never been better.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, by the way.
Yes.
If you have a question for me, email it to nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. That's where you can send your theme songs, too. Find us on Facebook at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Well, this show is about to go down the drain, but fortunately, our pipes are clear. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Alfonso Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Ho. Technical direction at Ray Horseman Studios by guest technical director Ricardo Nunez. Special thanks to tonight's house band clarinetist Vincent Camuglia. Thanks again to our guests, Jesse Thorne and Star Tomlinson, our head of security is Jonah Knuckles Glickman, and I hope to God Jesse Thorne got back to his car safely.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.